We reached the all-time high before the halving event. This never happened in the history of Bitcoin.
The whole world will adopt it tomorrow. No, this takes time.
I have my 12 words, my thief phrase in my head, and I can just go away and start from the beginning anywhere in the world. I'm not anymore willing to work for someone who is not appreciating my time. You will not need an exit strategy for anything, because Bitcoin will be this exit strategy. Bitcoin respects your time. Nobody will force you to understand it, to use it. It's totally up to you. I see the biggest problem and danger and censorship.
Happy halving day, Chris.
Yeah, also happy halving day. I have to say, I didn't celebrate the halving event this night, because, of course, it's a unique event. And I think we all know what this, what is the meaning for the Bitcoin halving, and also for the future. And I think it has a really more like a long-term impact than a short-term impact. But I didn't celebrate it because, I knew we have this podcast episode this morning. So, yesterday in the evening, I just watched a film on Netflix, and then I went to bed like at 11 p.m. And so everything is fine.
That's very good. Yeah, it's like interesting. I think you even wrote, I saw on the blog, an article about the halving. So like everything we need to know about the halving. I did not read it, but I just saw a headline. Maybe for people, and I'm always aware for the audience, because there's always someone that's quite new in the space. Maybe let's just quickly summarize, what's the halving? Did everything run as you expected it to run? It's the fourth halving in Bitcoin, and what's the significance of it?
Yeah, well, if we talk about the halving, this is like, I always say, like a feature which Bitcoin has, and this Bitcoin halving event is happening every 200,010 blocks. So every 4 years. And what I really like about the halving, it's like the fact that you know at every time what is going to happen. So it's not like in the fiat currency system, for example, you don't know how much money they will print in the future. And with Bitcoin, and especially with this Bitcoin halving event, You always know, like every 4 years, this event is going to happen. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. And the block rewards are going to cut in half. So before yesterday, we had like a reward for the miners in an amount of 6.225 Bitcoins. And now with this event, this night, the block reward was splitted into the half, so into 3.125. And I think, also for the future, you can see and you know already right now what is going to happen in the future. Of course, then, for example, when we talk about the halving in the future, we will get to some point, maybe in, if we have a little look further in 2090 or 2096, when the halving at this point is happening. For example, it will take much more time to mine like one Bitcoin, and it will take up to 1 year. But it's you know to every point what will happen, and I think this is a great feature. And
I might get this wrong, but I think even like the last Bitcoin will take like 100 years or something like that.
Yeah, the really last one. Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. And what do you, because this halving for me is a special one, because we, for the first time ever, we hit the all time high before the halving. Right now we are not there, but we hit it before the halving, which was not there before. And also interesting for me is that we have a major Bitcoin ETF launch, which has major inflows. And now even the Hong Kong ETF got launched, which also, It's not a nothing burger, but it's small compared to the American one. What do you, is there anything special about this cycle? Is there anything that you see like this could potentially impact the price and the adoption in an even greater way? And I don't like to use that word super cycle, but this is what the discussion is with every cycle. And I think Michael Saylor also talked about the 10-year gold rush. And he basically avoided the word super cycle, but 10-year gold rush is kind of the theory about a super cycle. So what's your thoughts on this of the like the next years and the trigger of ETF and cycle?
Yeah, well, I think definitely the situation in which we are right now, it's a completely different situation than in the past. Because right now, the ETF started in the US. And also, for example, with the fact that we reached the old all-time high before the halving event, this never happened in the history of Bitcoin. And I think this is a really good proof. And this is showing to me that you cannot always take the facts and the data from the past. And because with these actions, with the reaching the all-time high, it's never happened. So things can go in a different way in the future, and I think we all have to be aware of it. Right now, the ETF started in the US, and it seems like also in Hong Kong there are they are going to provide them to their clients and to their customers. And I think this is it's a really big game changer, because not only in terms of what kind of what amount of money will go into the ETFs, but I think I see it more like a really big game changer in terms of education, and to show to the publicity, okay, Bitcoin, it's here, it's not disappearing. And Bitcoin is growing day by day, month by month, year by year. And either you accept it and you go with it and you are open to the topic or not. So I think, for the future, for long term, it will have a huge impact. But I would also say we have to wait for the following 2 to 3 years to make like a real and profound summary. To have a further look and to say, okay, this happened the last 2-3 years, and it's not happening, or the change will not be like huge from today till tomorrow. So we have to be still patient, but it's a really big game changer.
Yeah, definitely. And the low time preference we always have to keep, because without the low time preference, we get frustrated. And I think the adoption is fast, but it's not as fast as we thought, because every time someone comes in Bitcoin, you're like, oh, that's amazing, the whole world will adopt it tomorrow. No, this takes time. People have to educate themselves. I've myself needed 3 years to go from Bitcoin is a scam to I might look into it a little bit more. And then I needed a weekend of deep research to go from, okay, it's really a scam, to okay, I will buy a little bit of it. Let's see it a little bit more. And then it took me from there. Once I researched it, once I had and skin in the game, it took me a year to go all in. I sold all my stocks. I sold all my other properties and assets and went all in Bitcoin, slowly but surely. Like 1 year is not too much of a time. So it's really interesting what Bitcoin does for you. And if you have a low time preference, you will benefit from it greatly. And you also moved from Germany to the Canary Islands, as I understood it, right?
Yeah, correct, correct.
So my first question, and I think I know some of the others because I'm quite, I was also in Germany, but what's bad about Germany? Like, why did you move?
Yeah, the thing or the reason why I moved, it's first of all, since when I was a child, I always had this desire deep in me to go away and to live somewhere else, to live abroad, because of many different reasons, because of the climate, because of the weather, and also because of the culture. Because what I didn't like at Germany at all, I felt like, especially when I finished school and when I started to study and when I worked for the first time, I felt like in my personal friend cycle that if you have a good job, for example, you are someone. And if you don't have a good job or if you are not earning so well, you are nobody. And this is like a kind of a mentality I don't like, because for me, like a human being, for me, a person, it's not defining herself by her job. So, for example, I respect, for example, a person who is working in the government or in a bank. In the same way for a person which is, I don't know, working in a hotel or working in a bar, in a restaurant. And this is like, a culture and the mentality I don't like. So for me, it was always clear to go somewhere abroad where the culture is more open. And of course, you know, and especially in Europe or especially in Germany, the weather in the winter, it's not so good. We have some quiet months during the winter in Germany where you see no sun. And also this affects your vitamin D level and may your mentality. And so therefore, I always had this desire to live abroad. And on top of this, my father lived also when he was younger. He worked for a company which is called ThyssenKrupp. I think in Germany it's quite common or famous, this company. And for this company, when he was younger, he worked in Venezuela and South America. So I think maybe from my father, I have it a little bit in my veins, you know, this desire to explore the world, to see new things. And
That's amazing. And the obvious question to ask is like, why not move to El Salvador now?
Well, this is right now, I have to be honest, and right now I am in a point at my life where I'm really thinking what will be my next steps, because right now here in the Canary Islands, in Gran Canaria, I lived since almost 9 years, and actually it was always in my life my goal to go to Central America, to South America. And but of course, when I went earlier back in the days to the Canary Islands, this was a move I made it because of the job and because, for example, the Canary Islands or Spain in generally is the most nearest, like in terms of culture to Latin America. So I think more and more times my journey here in the Canary Islands this journey will end May soon. And it was like step in between. And I had here, of course, I enjoyed the time I had here so far so much. I'm so thankful for everything the culture, the people gave to me. But right now I'm really thinking about to go away and to start a new adventure and to start and to begin from zero again. And this will be May in El Salvador or May in Costa Rica or in Panama. But I'm really thinking of it and already planning a little bit to realize this step. Hopefully at the end of the year or maybe next year.
Really cool. And I think when we talk about Bitcoin and having a personal savings account, a personal account in Bitcoin helps a lot with those life decisions. How did this help you to be like a little bit more free? Maybe also like have the mindset that like, okay, I can move with my whole capital wherever I want because Bitcoin is quite movable. I don't have to worry about, oh, how do I sell my stock portfolio? Can I take this and that into a new country? Where do I have to pay taxes with it? How did Bitcoin help you in that regard?
Yeah, Bitcoin helps me regarding this a lot. It's really insane when I think about it, because right now, not only me, we all have the chance to make faster decisions and to say, if I'm not happy where I'm living, I'm taking my seed phrase. I have 12 words in my head and I'm going away. And I think this is really mind blowing. it may seem like a simple fact, but if you think about it, and when I look at my personal situation, I can sell here my car. I can sell my 3-4 things I have. I have my 12 words, my feed phrase in my head, and I can just go away and start from the beginning, anywhere in the world. And, this is really insane that with Bitcoin, you have this power to take all your wealth and to take it with you wherever you want. It's insane. And of course, I think for all the people who wants to go away, it's also like a feature which helps you and which makes things a lot easier in terms of to take such an important decision. So it's really insane and I love it.
It is really cool and it helps a lot. And you also agreed on before we started the show that we talk about that you got a month ago laid off. I'm really curious, like, did Bitcoin, like mentally, as you have then a stable savings account, did this help you? And how did this whole transition and this period was for you?
Yeah, Bitcoin helped me in this situation, definitely. I would say in this situation, Bitcoin is definitely my lifeboat. So I'm so thankful, for having the luck to understood Bitcoin like a few years ago. And as you mentioned earlier, a few years ago, I also went crazy when I really understood Bitcoin. I sold all my properties, my car, my motorbike. And because I knew this is the right way, and thanks to my actions in the past, right now it doesn't matter to me if my company fired me, because I made my homework in this sense, you know. And right now, thanks to this, I can sleep. I can sleep. I am free. And so, I would say this is, I'm really thankful for the way I have taken the last years. And, right now it doesn't matter to me, if a company fires me, because also I understood and I'm not anymore, willing to work for someone who is not appreciating my time, because this is the most valuable thing I think we all have in our life, our lifetime, our energy. And it's even more scarcer than Bitcoin, our own lifetime, because you never know when this journey here on this planet will end. So,
But the firing was not about Bitcoin, that you have Bitcoin, right? I heard some stories that they got laid off because they talked too much about Bitcoin in the workplace.
Well, actually, in the workplace, I didn't talk about Bitcoin, but of course, in my or at my LinkedIn profile, as you know, I'm posting almost every day, facts and new postings. So in my private life, everything is about Bitcoin. And what I have to mention, and right now I can remember that my chef told me once in the past months, Chris, if you have this passion for which you have for Bitcoin, if you have this passion for your job, then you would be the best worker, and it would be really nice if you could get this passion or transmit this passion which you have for Bitcoin into your job. So maybe it was also like a fact that they didn't like it, that I talked so much about Bitcoin. But for me, I have one thing clear. I don't care about if it's my employer or if it's my boss. If somebody would tell me, please don't do this on LinkedIn, or please do not talk about Bitcoin, I will not do this, because Bitcoin for me, it's like a life mission, and it's for me a tool to help others. So I don't really care what my boss would tell me about Bitcoin, because Bitcoin is my passion, it's my mission, and I want to help the people to understand Bitcoin. So yeah.
Is it then also like Bitcoin kind of like a freedom catalyst on a even a personal level?
Yeah, definitely, because you are embracing, you're learning, you're educating yourself, and I always say, Bitcoin, it's like the, you can compare it with the spider bite in the film Spider-Man. So for example, you get this bite from the spider, and right now you have this power, and now it's up to you to use this power or not. But nobody will force you to understand it, to use it. It's totally up to you. And I always say also to the people, I only can show you the door. I only can try to show you the truth. But when I'm showing you the door, it's by yourself to go through this door and to take your own actions. So.
Yeah, definitely. It's you cannot force anyone into this, and it's I discussed a lot with people how the orange pill one, and the most effective way I came to know, I think we even talked about it on a Twitter space together. I don't know if it was on that one, but the most effective one is just like living a great life and saying that you are a Bitcoiner, then people will associate that you are a great person, you are like happy, you're giving in the society, stuff like that, and then you're also like a Bitcoiner. So I think that's always the best way to the orange pill people. And I'm getting really defensive about orange pilling someone. When someone comes up to me and wants to know something, I'm gladly helping everybody. I'm not going around, except from the internet. On the internet, I'm doing that because it's just a room where I can throw in stuff, and people that don't want to know it, they can just block or mute me.
Exactly.
It's pretty easy. But in real life, in the family, friends, and now I work in Bitcoin. So in Bitcoin and with coworkers, I only have good interactions. But with family and friends, I never press the Bitcoin topic. And it's so funny for me when people say like, oh, now the price is going up, now you're talking more about it. No. Now I get asked more about it. I never bring up Bitcoin as a topic, but nobody asks me when it's 18,000 and everybody asks me when it's 70,000. So that seems to be the difference here. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've met also my own experience in terms of orange pilling. And to give you an example, my best friends here on the Canary Islands, it's a couple. They have also the same age like me, 33 years old, and it's a couple. And I try to explain them Bitcoin, how it's working. And it was one evening we were in the bar, we had some drinks, and then after it, I decided, I told them, well, let's go to my home. I will show you, I will turn on like a quick Bitcoin doco, and I wanted to show them the advantages and like a small documentary in Spanish language. And you know how it ended up? We started the doco like, I don't know, at 12 midnight, and we ended up discutating. So we discussed until 5 in the morning because they didn't understand it. They're supporting the government and all their actions. And since then, I understand, and now I know to try to convince someone, it's not the right way. If someone wants to ask you and wants to know something, of course, everybody can ask me, and I'm lucky to help and to recommend them some things and to help them. But a really aggressive orange pilling, I made bad experience with this, and
Why do you think people don't get it? What are the misconceptions that people still have when trying to understand Bitcoin?
Well, I think it has to do something with the mindset and also with the psychology. It's like a psychology thing, because if you want to understand Bitcoin, you have to be open. You have to be open against something new. And I think it's our nature. When something appears which is new and something appears which we don't know much about it, we are trying maybe to avoid it because we try to live our lives in a comfort zone. We are feeling good in this comfort zone, and we don't want to leave this comfort zone because this can be a risk to leave this comfort zone. So I think it's really up to the mentality, and also depending on the character. So we have people which are generally from nature like really open-minded, and they're questioning some things, and also they're trying to make their own opinion. But I think most of people, yeah, they are, when there's something new, they don't trust it, and they don't make the effort to make their own opinion and to make their own research in order to understand a topic or Bitcoin a little bit better. So
I think that's also like a reason why you founded Bitcoin Mastery, right?
Yeah, exactly, because it's like a small project where I am writing blog articles, and I'm also active on social media like Twitter, X, or LinkedIn. And my main goal with this little project, with this little blog or homepage I have, is only to provide people who want to learn to provide information in a free form, because I am feeling like I want to give something away. I think right now it's time for me has come to help other people and to give something away, to give something back. Because, for example, I am living my life like I think I have to give more than I take from the people. And it's not always easy to live like this, but I always try to remind myself day by day to give more than I take. And with Bitcoin Mastery, it's like my own small project where I'm trying to provide information absolutely for free. And everyone who wants to inform themselves, they are invited to, for example, to read my blog articles or to follow me on social media. But my main goal is to provide information and not to force anyone to learn Bitcoin, because I think not all or everyone has to understand Bitcoin, and not everyone has to get it. I'm also confident, or I know that not all the whole world will understand Bitcoin, and it's okay. I'm fine with this, but for the people who are open-minded and wants to learn new stuff, I want to give them like free informations.
Really cool. And for like new people listening that they want to check out more and more Bitcoin content, they want to read books, they want to listen to stuff, watch videos. Do you have like a library? Do you have like a list of things that you usually recommend as an educational material for newbies?
Of course. I think in these days, thanks to God, we have like a lot of information either in the internet or either when it comes to book. So the book I always would recommend for a newbie, for example, one of them is of course the Bitcoin Standard. But also I would may say for absolutely beginner, the Bitcoin Standard can be a little bit overwhelming. So maybe it can be a lot. For example, there's also another book, in Germany, which is called the Trojanic Horse, so Das Trojanische Pferd. I think this is also like a really good Bitcoin book, and it shows you the different use cases for Bitcoin in many different countries all over the world. And this is something where you see, Bitcoin has already an impact in many different countries, and it empowers people, it helps people. So
I think I'm not sure if it's the same one from Alex Gladstein. It's
exactly from Alex Gladstein.
Check your financial privilege. I don't know if it's just if the English one is check your financial privilege and the German one is then the Trojan horse. Maybe, when you check out books by Alex Gladstein, Check Your Financial Privilege, Trojan Horse, and The Little Bitcoin Book, he has a lot of interesting material just for people that want to like wonder now what exactly this book is. Really, really cool. That's amazing. And we also talked about, on a space together, Bitcoin as the exit strategy. First of all, like, what do you mean with Bitcoin as the exit strategy?
Well, Bitcoin, is the exit strategy, or can be for everyone an exit strategy, because as I said earlier, Bitcoin gives you the power back. So Bitcoin gives you the power of money back. For example, Bitcoin respects your time you have invested in your work, and Bitcoin, it's like the most and the greatest saving tool we have discovered so far, and I think in our human history. So with Bitcoin, and what I want to say with this, if you have Bitcoin, and even if you have like simple saving plan, I'm really confident if you have like a low time preference and like a long time horizon, you will not need a exit strategy for anything, because Bitcoin will be this exit strategy. But of course, it's also very important to understand that you need patience. That you need patience, and when you think about Bitcoin, it's not about getting rich from overnight. It's not about this, definitely not. But if you're trying to understand Bitcoin and you got to the point where you understand Bitcoin, I think also then you will get to the point really fast where you understand what huge impact Bitcoin can have for your own future, and how it can give you back the power, and how it can embrace a lot of areas in your personal life.
I told you a lot about 21 Bitcoin, the best place for me to buy Bitcoin directly on a Bitcoin only exchange. But now let's talk about how to secure your Bitcoin. Once you got Bitcoin, you don't want to leave them on exchange. You want to take self-custody. You want to take responsibility of your own Bitcoin. That's why I recommend getting a BitBox. BitBox is an amazing wallet where you can not only keep your Bitcoin in a simple way very secure, you can even create a passphrase. With that passphrase, you can basically create a hidden wallet on the device itself. Make sure to buy your BitBox in the link down in the description, and with code Robin, you even get a 5% discount.
Yeah, 100%. And it's also lets me think of like the future, the adoption that we are coming to. We have the devs. We had like, when we just think of like 4 years ago, we had the first publicly traded company that went into Bitcoin. We did not have any countries like El Salvador that embraced it so publicly. Now we have ETF launch. Like, there are so many steps of adoption that come into the into Bitcoin and really drive the adoption in a major way. What do you think are the major adoption barriers, like the things that we have to overcome to get to even a bigger mass adoption? Because right now we are still like kind of niche. When you talk with the general population, people don't understand what Bitcoin is. What do you think are the catalysts that we actually come to a major mass adoption? Is it just the price action? Do we have to do something else?
Well, I would go so far, and I would say the biggest thing would be, is for me, it's like education. It's all about education. We have to try to educate the people. We have to try to provide more information to the people. And I think this in a very, very, in the easiest way possible. Because, I think in these days, you have, if you want to inform yourself about Bitcoin, you have some really good YouTubers. For example, people like you who are making like a podcast. You have other YouTubers, either in Germany or all around the world, which are providing some really valuable informations. So I think, a huge adoption will come with education, of course, also with price. But I think it's so important to educate the people, because I would go so far and I say, in these days, it's not totally easy to understand Bitcoin in these days. And it's either not so hard to understand Bitcoin, but yeah, for me, it's like for absolutely newbie or for a person, for a human being who wants to trying to learn Bitcoin, it's not so easy may as we think. So there is like for me, there is like may a small barrier for the people to get into this rabbit hole and to try to get more about Bitcoin. So I think education, it's so important. And I see the biggest threat or danger in terms of education or in terms of adopting Bitcoin all over the world, this planet. I see the biggest problem and danger and censorship. As we all know, for example, this year, Mrs. von der Leyen in Davos, she said it's all about misinformation and disinformation. So, and I think I can may imagine like a point in the future where we are not anymore allowed to speak about certain things. And even if we talk about the truth, or even if we provide like true data and statistics, if the government or whoever doesn't want that we talk about the truth, that they are trying to put us down, and there I really think there is the biggest danger, because Bitcoin you cannot forbidden Bitcoin. Bitcoin is there. Bitcoin, in my opinion, will not disappear. So I really see the biggest danger in a certain censorship, that we're not anymore able to say what we want to say, and especially when it comes to the truth.
Yeah, it's I mean, when we see now especially Twitter with Elon Musk, we are kind of seeing a reverse of that trend. We are having possibilities with Nostra. But even Twitter is a tool which not the masses use. Like YouTube is so much bigger than Twitter. Instagram is so much bigger than Twitter. It's like 5x, 3x of that. Twitter is coming along and they're trying really to be mainstream and be like a platform for a lot. And still Twitter is not the holy grail of free speech. It's just way better than the other platforms, the other big platforms. Then we have Nostra. That's obviously really, really cool. But not too many people use it. Like it gets along. It's the UI improves a lot, but censorship is an important topic that especially, what's the saying? America is the innovation power and the innovation force. Then you have China that tries to copy everything, and then the EU is regulating it. So we are just like trying to put on restraints to all the stuff that's happening, and it's sad to see. But I think Bitcoin is like a hope for exactly that, because it's not possible to censor Bitcoin. You can just regulate yourself out of Bitcoin and really make the EU hunger in a big way if they don't adopt Bitcoin. But yeah, that's the only thing they can do, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, for example, in these days we have like so many valuable podcasts, and I think day by day also a new podcast or a new YouTube channel is created and rising. And for example, today, for example, in the Dach area or in Germany, we have some really great podcasts and YouTube channels, and they're speaking about topics where I think the government, they don't want that we speak about this topic, and the government, they don't want that the people are listening to it. So for me, I see it such as a powerful thing, because day by day, people are watching podcasts. And especially in this situation, for example, it doesn't care if we look about Germany or Europe or about the global situation. People know something is happening. They feeling it. They know something is gone wrong, and people are always questioning more and more. And with these podcasts and YouTubers who are providing this information and who are willing to speak about dangerous topics, people will see this day by day, and they are waking up step by step. And this I really see like a big danger. But thanks to God, in Europe or in Germany, it's still possible to watch these podcasts. And thanks to all these podcasts and YouTubers who are talking about such important topics. they are helping, I think, the society, to see the truth and to start questioning themselves and to start questioning what is happening here and to try to understand what is really happening. And
Amazing. I loved it. And it's really, really cool. And I try to always like get the guests also to speak about what they are currently really passionate about. I think as Bitcoiners, we always evolve and we are always like at different angles or different perspectives in the life or different stages also in the life. You're also in a really interesting situation right now. And that's why I'm asking, like, what are you currently really passionate about? Like, what are you studying besides Bitcoin, besides doing something in that regards? Is there any topic that stands out for you? Like, that's really one that I'm extremely passionate about and that is where my most learning time goes in now.
Well, I would say beside Bitcoin, it's in terms I'm really interested, and I was always interested in when it comes to my mindset, when it comes to my own character, to my own person. I always trying to improve myself in any way I can, because I think the whole life is a journey, and I think we always have to try to improve, and we always have to try to see our errors, our mistakes. And I would say, beside Bitcoin, I don't really have big passion for Bitcoin for another thing. But I'm always trying to improving myself and to learn more about me, to getting me better, my own character. And the only thing what I really want, and this is what I'm working right now, is I want to improve this world. I want to make the world a better place. And I know for me it's not possible to change the world by myself. And but I also know for myself, I can have a small impact, and that's totally fine. I'm totally fine with it. And my biggest passion beside Bitcoin is to help other people. And with Bitcoin, I have this tool, and now it's possible for me to help other people, because earlier back in the day, and also like a small child, I always knew and I felt it that something in this world is not going well. Something is going wrong. And But I always wanted to help people, but I didn't know how to help people. For example, I always was thinking about going abroad, maybe to South America, Central America, to work like in a school or in a project where I help people or children who lost their children. But right now with people, I have this tool, this piece, what was actually missing for me my entire life. And with this, it's possible for me to change the world, to make the world a little better place by my own actions. And
Very cool. And we have an Andrew Dean in the podcast where the previous guest is asking a question for the next guest, kind of the blockchain from guests. And the question for you is an interesting one. We touched on it a little bit. What would be the most influential thing that could happen to Bitcoin as a positive catalyst?
Well, as a positive catalyst, I think really if more governments are accepting Bitcoin, and if more governments are communicating like in a very transparent and open way, that they're, for example, already accumulating Bitcoin, that they will maybe implement Bitcoin as a legal tender. I'm really convinced that this will be like a huge catalyst to improve the adoption and to make it much more faster. Because right now at the moment we only have El Salvador. It's like a pioneer in this way, but I'm totally convinced that it's only a matter of time till other countries, other governments are opening themselves for Bitcoin and they will communicate it. For me, it's a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. So,
Yeah, definitely. I love it. Before we let you go, is there anything that you want to speak about? Is there anything you want to shout out or
where is the best way for people to reach out to you?
Well, I don't want to talk, for example, it's where it's the best, where they can reach out to me. I think bitcoinmastery.de, it's my homepage, my domain. I'm active on Twitter and on LinkedIn. But what I want to shout out, or what I want to say at the end, is really for maybe for people who are seeing this podcast and who are still at the beginning. I just want to tell for the people, if you don't know Bitcoin or if you're not yet so deep into it, just give yourself the chance to explore it. Be open and be curious and try to be open. And after studying in Bitcoin, after some few hours, or you can always decide and make your own decisions and say, this is nothing for me. I don't want to deal with it. It's totally fine. But and this advice I not only want to give regarding Bitcoin, because I think it's very important for all aspects and in all areas in our lives to be open to something new. Because I think if we are not open, we are closing so many doors. So it doesn't matter if it's Bitcoin or something else. But yeah, always be open, stay curious, and try to make your own opinion and try to make your own research, because this is really important. And if a person or if you are able to do this, then you can always make your own opinion and take further actions. So
That's excellent advice. I love it a lot. So thank you, Chris, for being on. Thank you for being part of the show. It was a pleasure talking with you. And it's great to talk with so many Bitcoiners every day. And I hope you got also something out of the podcast. And for everyone listening, thank you for being part of this journey. It's my 101st episode. It's fascinating that how far we have come. And yeah, I'm really glad that you are also part of it, Chris. And yeah, thank you for being on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I wish you all the best. Thanks a lot for the invitation. I wish you all the best. And yeah, go forward. And I'm sure you will doing great. And so I wish you all the best. And thank you for this invitation, Robin.
Thank you.